John chapter 10. We need to cover every verse since we're going verse by verse through the scriptures. And this is what we do here for any visitors here. This is what we do here. This is all we do here. This is all we should do here, is go through this book verse by verse and see what God says. That's all we're doing. We're not trying to entertain anyone. We're trying to see what God says. Hope He speaks to us. Well, verse by verse, and there's some difficult verses here, though. Let's read verses 27 through 30 again. John 10, verses 27 through 30. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one." You notice the word "my" is in italics. That means it was not there in the original Greek scripture. "I and Father are one." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying two things in that verse. "I and Father are one." He's saying, "I and God the Father are one in purpose. We're one in mind. We're one in work. We're in this thing together. We're in the salvation of our sheep together." He's saying that. One in purpose. He's also saying, "I'm God." That's the reason it reads that way. "I and Father are one." Over and over he said this. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Called himself God. Now, the Jews knew what he was saying. They heard him loud and clear. They heard him saying, "I'm God." And verse 31, it says, they took up stones to stone him. Again, to stone him. The Jews, that is. All right? This is important. The Jews. The Jews were religious people. They weren't street people. They were religious people. All right? Church going, so to speak. People. But the scripture says to the Jew, Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. To the religious person, Jesus Christ, who he is and what he said, is a stumbling block. He gets in their way. Now, listen, Christ has been saved all the way through John 10, he's been saying, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter." He said, "I am the shepherd." One place he said, "I'm from above, you're from beneath. I'm the shepherd. God, the Father has given me sheep. I'm the shepherd. They're in my hands." He said, "I'm the way. I am He." He said, "No man cometh unto God but by me. I am that I am." All right? Now, these Jews, these self-righteous, religious people, got mad at Him. They heard Him. They got mad at Him. Why? Because they were proud of what they were doing for God. They thought that what they were doing, their religion, their works, The fact that they didn't drink and smoke and cuss and chew and gone to church all their life. Same thing. Same thing. These fellas, they might not have had a red man back then, but they had something similar that they prided themselves in not doing. They didn't eat pork. Why, ham had never touched their lips. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But that's exactly. They were proud of the fact that they were religious and had always attended the synagogue of their choice, and that they were working their way to heaven, and surely God was taking notice of them, that they were good little boys and girls. And they weren't like these sinners out in the world. They weren't running the bars and running the streets, and they weren't like these publicans and these Pharisees and these harlots and all that. Why, they did all the, they tithe, they did this, they did that. And our Lord one time gave a story of about a notorious sinner coming into the tabernacle, and one of these Jews coming in, and he said that old no good sinner went out of that place justified, accepted by God, and that religious fellow was rejected. Thumbs down. They heard him and they got mad. That made them mad, you see. And that what they knew what he was saying. You mean that all that we're doing, our religion, all that we've given up for God, so to speak, all that we're doing, all that we are, doesn't account for anything before God?
Nothing.
You mean that we're no better than that fellow on the street? Than that common harlot?
Worse.
And that made them mad, fighting mad. And it does the same thing today. It does the same thing today. The average religious person sitting in with, it was, if they were sitting, if I were standing behind the average pulpit in America today, I'd see teeth, jaws just going like this. I've seen them. I've seen people wander in here, you know, and I've seen their jaws start to work. I've seen them look like they wanted to box my jaws. And I'd like to box theirs. So the feeling was mutual. Well, Christ is saying the only way anybody's going to get to God is if I take them there. Christ is saying the only way anybody's going to be saved is if I do all the saving. I mean start the saving and finish the saving. That's what he's saying. And the Jews didn't like that. Made him angry. What he's saying is, I'm no mere man, I'm God. Now, look at verse 32 and verse 33. It says here that they took up stones to stone him, and he said, well, what many good works have I showed you from my Father? For which of these works do you stone me? They said, we're not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You're a man. You make yourself God. It's the same today, isn't it? Same today. Men believe no differently today. This is why everybody refers to the Lord of glory as Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you a fact now. This is why preachers are standing up today, and nearly every time they refer to this one, they're going to call him Jesus. Why? He's not much more than a man to them. I'm not exaggerating the case, am I, Stan? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And whatever a man thinks about this one here, that's what he'll call him, Jesus. But, buddy, if there's a sovereign, reigning Lord ruling over his heart, He hesitates to even use that name, but when he does, he says, Lord. Now, I'm not overstating the case. Men reveal themselves for what they are. You think he's just a man. He's just a man. A good man now. He's a good man. They'll acknowledge that. Just a man. An extraordinary man. But not much more than a man. He ain't God because he can't do anything unless you let him. They say. He's not God, they say, because he's standing at your heart door and he's knocking and he can't come in unless you open that door. Poor Jesus. That's another Jesus. That ain't this Jesus. That ain't the Lord of glory. Like one preacher said, you know what the hand of God Almighty do to your heart's door if he is knocking on it? And that's exactly what he does. He said, my word's like a hammer. If I come knocking on a heart, it's caving in, buddy. It's going to be broken for good. And I'm coming in. He can't unless you let him. There's a scripture over in the Old Testament. You remember reading and studying the life of David? It says that David, now he was the king of Israel. At that time, it was the most powerful kingdom on earth. David was king. King of Israel. And he went down to one place, and it says he was going to conquer this one place. And it said these little pinhead fellas, you know, inside that city, they had the gates barred and the walls up around the city. It said these little pinhead fellas said, he ain't coming in. And the next verse in that scripture says, and David went in. I love that. I don't care what these pinhead preachers are saying either. They're talking about another Jesus. And I'm here to declare the real one. And I'm telling you, he's not waiting on you to do anything. He's not dependent on you to do anything. And he's not going to do anything unless you let him. If he decides to do something, he's going to do it. Because he's God. Now, these Jews knew what he was saying. All right? Now, I was going to deal with these verses, and I'm not. I'm sorry, I don't have time. I just don't have time. I want to get to the end of this chapter. But he said to them, verses 34 and 35, is it not written in your law, your gods, that is, your little rulers, your little princes? If he called them gods, if God called them gods, now this is over in Psalm 82, if God called these rulers in Israel gods, or that is, little princes and rulers, unto whom the word of God came. Now, God won't break his word. Do you say of him, verse 36, do you say of him whom God has set apart, I mean set apart above all others, sanctified, set apart, highly exalted, and given a name which is above every name, who's made him Lord, I mean capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Psalm 2. Long before Psalm 82, Psalm 2. God declared the decree, I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He better kiss him lest he's angry. Now, do you say of him, Christ says, that he's blaspheming because he says he's the Son of God, the offspring of God? Read on. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. In other words, if I don't do what God does, then believe me not. That is, if I do, verse 38, if I do, if I heal the blind, I mean the blind now, not like Benny Hinn, who takes some fella who's real nearsighted and says, throw away your glasses. Or some fella who's got a hearing aid and says, take that out. Or some person walking in on a cane. Oh, no. I'm talking about somebody born blind like Bartimaeus. And everybody knew it. And when he went away, he saw somebody who's deaf. I mean, everybody knew it. He couldn't hear a thing. Somebody's lame. I mean, their legs were shriveled up. Not walking on a cane. They were bedridden. And everybody knew it, and they saw him. Somebody dead. Dead raised up. I mean, D-E-A-D, graveyard dead, in a coffin, lid shut. Stone on the door, and Christ comes by and said, walk. Hear, see, get up, live. Now, he said, if I do that, you best be believing I'm God. If you don't hear what I'm saying, he says, you better see what I'm doing and believe. But that's not possible, is it? Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing is seeing. All right? So that's what he's saying there. And now let's get on down to meat, all right? I'm watching the time closely. I'm not going to lose you, or many of you, hopefully. Verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, the killing. They sought to grab him again. They got mad again, Stan, and they all, hundreds, maybe 1,000 people standing around him. All around, said Jews gathered around about. Everywhere he went, he gathered a crowd. Or a crowd gathered around him. And he was saying, he's standing right in the middle of them saying these things. And it says, they saw the, get him, boys! Got him!
Got him! I got him!
Got him? You got him? Thought you had him. Now, boys, he had just said, no man taketh my life from me. You can't touch me. Why? You can't touch God. God's in the heavens. You can't lay a hand on him. And even if God walks this earth, you can't lay a hand on him. Touch not my anointed, God said. Don't touch him unless I say. Now see, Jesus not in our hand. God has not placed Jesus in our hand. We can't touch him. And boy, he can touch us. There's a vast gulf between us and him. He's not in our hand. Buddy, we're in his. And Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. Can't do it. They tried, didn't they? Over and over. I love that. Don't you stand? I love that. Over and over and over again. They get him. Threw stones at thin air. Remember the door? He doesn't even need a door. He is the door. Oh, that's the Lord God. You see, it's not this pitiful pinhead Jesus they're talking about. I can't make the fun of this fellow they're talking about today. I can't. He absolutely needs to be like Dagon, just dropped on his face for what he is. This Jesus preachers are talking about is a wimp. I can whip him. I challenge him to a fight. I can whip him. I can whip him. I can beat his brains out. Tell us, Jesus, they're preaching meat be behind the building today afternoon. Tell them. I can whip him. Well, I ain't got no hands or arms. I can whip him. I can't whip Steve Parks. But I can whip that Jesus who can't do anything unless I let him. And this God they're talking about, you know, tried all he can do. Now it's up to me. I'm stronger than he is. I challenge him. But buddy, now this is the Lord of glory here. This is the God of the universe right here. Do you see why we do nothing here but worship? Do you see why we do nothing here but read this book? If that's what preachers were doing, there'd be more people see that this ain't just little Jesus they're talking about. This is God. If they'd just read what he said, they'd say, hey, he's not what fellas are saying about him. Why, he's God. Well, he escaped. Verse 40. And he went away. Every word is significant. Jeanette, every word in God's Word is just... was written before the world began, and God spent millenniums writing it. Every if and jot and tittle has divine significance, eternal meaning. All right, look at this. And went away. So he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and that's where he abode. So Christ escaped out of their midst, and where did he go? He went back to where he began his public ministry. This is where he was first revealed by God. This is where he was first revealed. This is where John... Let's begin there, okay? Well, no, hold on. We've got to read this first. And he went away again, verse 40, into the place where John baptized at first, and there he abode. In verse 41, many resorted unto him there and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man, they're true. And many believed on him there. Where? Back there. Back where they first heard what John said. All right? So let's go back and hear and see what John said. All right? Back to John chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back and hear what we first heard. Okay? Let's lay again the foundation. Let's lay again the foundation which no man can lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ the Lord. All right? Go back to the beginning of our confidence, and let's hold it steadfast to the end. Let's abide there, okay? And maybe, hopefully, many in here believe on him here. Not only like they did there, they believe on him here. All right, John 1, verse 1. Do you tire of these verses? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. You'll see it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of these Jehovah Witnesses was reading that to me one day out of her so-called Bible, her perversion. She read it this way, and the Word was a God. I just about lost it right there. I said, it doesn't say that. Now, John 10 back there said that, didn't he? He said, when he was talking to those little fellas, he said, didn't I say in your word, you're gods, small g, plural? But there's one God. And if the so-called Jehovah Witnesses believe there's one God, there's not two. A God? Well, there's one. He's God. Read on. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who? Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. Well, he can't do anything unless you let him. Well, he made this world without you letting him. I wasn't around. You ask me. He did that without me. Well, they say he can't do anything without you. He did that. He made the world. Angels, seraphim, cherubs, threw stars his face, hung the sun. I wonder, he didn't ask me. Read on. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. And this is what gives them all the problems.
Though he's God, yet he became a man. So they say, well, he can't be God. He's a man.
But he is. And just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean he isn't. Oh, my. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, he was just a man. He was just a man. They tried to make a God out of him. Isn't this what Romans says? John, isn't this what Romans 1 says? They worship the creature rather than the creator. They make a deity
or a God out of this little shriveled up fellow over in Rome who's got a fish on his head, you know. Little shriveled up, wrinkled Polak. Apologies to the Polish people, but that guy's a Polak. And he wears this little hat, and they make a God out of him. When the God of glory comes to this earth, they say he's just a man. Now, isn't that the perverted mind of man? Isn't man absolutely confused? Worship the creature rather than the Creator. Why? Because the Creator became a man. And they say, well, we can't figure this out. So what? That's the way it is. That's who he is, whether we can figure it out or not. And men get all kinds of, you know, argue against God's sovereignty. They get to throw all kinds of logic. And it doesn't matter what men say or what questions they ask, what he's God. Well, there was a man sent. Verse 26 and 27, this is what this man, now he's a man's man. He wouldn't profess to be anything but a man. A real man wouldn't. And he says in verse 26 and 27, I'm baptized with water. All I'm doing down here, I'm nothing. All I'm doing is just putting people under a lake, a river, a pool. Who are you, John? A man. But now, I'm trying to tell you about one. Look at verse 26. There standeth one among you whom you know not. Oh, these three words, John. Don't you love these three words, John, David, in John 1, 27? He it is. Do you see that he it is? Oh my, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoelace I'm not worthy to tie or untie. I'm just a man. Oh my. This is he. It is he of whom the prophets spake. He of whom God spake. He in whom we live and move and have our being. He in whom, through whom, by whom, for whom are all things. He it is. And you don't know him. And men today don't know him. But some do. He says, my sheep do. Those are the ones that get mad when they start talking about him like men do. Just read an article by Brother Jack Shanks in his bulletin along those lines. And he said, that old man, old Jack, he said, you know, I get plumb mad when people start talking about my Lord the way they do. People calling him an impotent, pitiful little fellow. Well, look at some of these things John said. It's all true. All things that John spake of this man are true. And may you believe on him here. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away sin of the world. That's the first thing he said. And it's true. Oh, is it? It's true.
Any sinners in here? No, I'm not talking about these religious folks that say, well, yeah, we've committed some mistakes and we have our faults, and yes, we would all be sinners, but I'm sure not like that. I'm talking about worthless, no good, wretched, gutter snipes. Well, this one saves to the guttermost. All those what? Those gutter snipes that come unto God by him. He doesn't save religious people. Oh, no. He leaves them, lets them stay religious. Keep on thinking there's something. And he allows those that trust in him to keep on believing they're sinners. Why? Well, they are. And that's what makes the gospel sweet. That's what makes this good news. That's what makes Christ precious to them. He saves sinners. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know what a lamb? You know why we need a lamb to take away our sin? Does anybody in here not know why we need a lamb to take away our sin? Now, this is all the way through this book here. All the way through this book. From the very beginning, when the first man and woman rebelled against God, Adam and Eve. People say it's a fictional story. It's not. At any rate, when the first man and woman fell and just said, "No, want God," God slew a lamb. They were guilty. God should have just wiped that man and woman out just right there. Just wiped them out. Say, I don't need them. Well, I don't need rebellious people or children like them. What do I need with them? They can't add anything to me. And now they're rebelling against me. God should have just snuffed them out. As God should do this whole planet right now. Why should God put up with this planet? Just snuff it out. But God is rich in... God should have snuffed that man and woman out. Should have killed them. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. So what did God do? God reached over here and took a lamb. I mean a little bleating, innocent, sweet, beautiful, spotless. Y'all ever seen lambs? Oh, there's nothing prettier. Nothing sweeter. Took that little lamb away from his mama and slit its throat. And poured that blood out and slit its belly and skinned it and took that skin and wrapped it around that man and that woman. They would make it. Oh, they tried to get some little fig leaves, you know. Hell, God can't see us now. You're naked. God took that lamb's skin and wrapped it around them. Behold, the Lamb of God, naked sinner. God sees you. He knows you. Everything you do and are is naked before his eyes, with whom we have to do, before whom we will stand someday in the judgment. Old-fashioned as this sounds, it's true. Before whom we'll stand, either naked or clothed in lambskin. Behold the Lamb. Christ came, innocent, pure, spotless. God said, look at him. He's lovely, altogether lovely. Look at you. Look at him. Look! And be ye saved. God slit his throat. God skinned him. Put that robe on us. Now I look like Christ. I didn't do anything. Christ did it all. I'm just wearing his robe. And now I don't have any sin. God doesn't see me. I'm hid. You're hid with God.
John, you know exactly what I'm saying, don't you? You're smiling, you're laughing. You know the joyful sound. I hear you laughing. Behold the Lamb. I may not get past this verse here. What John said is true. It's true. He taketh away sin. That's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. All our strivings and doings and this and that in the religion won't do it. All our endeavors, how often have you tried to quit this and quit that and do this and do that? Well, I'm going to get religion now. To no avail. When you come to Christ and look to Him, the burden drops. You mean I don't have to? No, you don't have to. You mean it's not up to you? No, it's not up to you. You mean all I got to do is look and try? That's all you got to do is look and try. That sounds so simple. It is. Simply this. Christ is all in salvation. Well, He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. Look at the next thing John says, and I'll hurry and quit. Verse 30. He said, after me, this is He. He it is. This is He. Of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Because He was before me. He's preferred before me. Now, listen very carefully. God loves and highly esteems and approves of one man, Jesus Christ. And the whole shooting match, line them up, from every man or woman that ever lived, is not worth burning. Oh, that's what God said in Isaiah. He said, Lebanon is not fit for burning. Didn't He, John? You ever heard that scripture? One man. God prefers him. Why? Well, He's the only one worth anything. Oh, my. Only one worthy. Worthy. I have a daughter here, and let me just be honest with you. I have one daughter, one child. And I prefer her to all other children. I just do. I'm being honest with you right now. I'm being honest. Now, you might sound real pious and tell me you love my daughter as much as your own, but you're lying. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. Might as well. Huh? That's the one I prefer. Huh? Now, wait a minute. Now, she's just a sinner like me. That's me sitting there. I mean, she's growing up and she's already showing signs of being just like me. Oh, my. But God now, He has one son. And He's not like us. He's like God. He's the express image. He's the only one worthy. And God says, I prefer Him. He's got a right, doesn't He, Sam? He's the only one worth preferring. So God does. I don't have any problem with that, do you? I don't. He is preferred. He was before me. He always will be before me. Look at the next thing. Verse 33. And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him. That's the one. The same is He. He it is. This is He. The same is He. Which baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Holy Ghost, a Spirit on Him without measure. Now, I need to hurry. I want you to see this. John said, I saw the Spirit on him without measure. Now, I've seen a measure of the Spirit in God's people. I'm looking at some right now who have a measure of the Spirit. Spirit being the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. I've seen a measure, a little bit. I have a hard time finding those things in myself, but I see those things in others, in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But I've seen it on him now, without measure. The fruit, without measure. Love. Greater love hath no man than him. Joy. Peace. Oh, he rejoiced when he had nothing. Peace. Oh, peace. Long-suffering. Oh, long-suffering. Nobody put up with more than he had and did. Gentleness. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ, the only real gentleman that ever lived. Gentleman. Goodness, oh, on him. Faith, meekness, temperance, all these things I've seen without measure. Read on, and it says, he's the one which baptizes with the Holy Ghost, verse 33. With the Holy Ghost. And over in another place it says with fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? All Christ's sheep have. Now, if you are in the so-called Pentecostal holiness, Jerusalem Pentecostal holiness, walk right, see right, talk right, do right, Spirit-filled, born-again church down the road, see, that's about the name of some of them, isn't it? What can we say that's different? We Pentecostal holiness, do right, say right, do right, be right, church of the mother, whatever, you know. If you were down there now, and the preacher was dealing this, he'd say, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? Do you understand that? No, neither did he. He's just a babbling idiot. Holy Ghost doesn't make people talk like babbling idiots. There's children in the nursery down there can do that. If that's being filled with the Spirit, they got more of it than he does. That's the only way they ever talk. What about fire? Well, I'd like to call down fire on some of these fellas. Here it is. Now, here's the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. And just have to take my word for it. In John 14 and John 16, it says this. Christ says this when he said, I'm going to go to the Father, but I'll not leave you comfortless. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send in my name, in the Father's name, him I will send unto you, and he, the Holy Spirit, this is what he's going to do. He's going to take the things of mine, Christ, and show them unto you. He's going to bring to remembrance all things that I have said. He's the teacher. He shall teach you and guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself. You won't hear all this talk about the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He talks about Christ. And he immerses people. He takes people and absolutely immerses them in the things of Christ. Baptizes them. Absolutely immerses them in Christ till they're filled with the things of Christ. He starts from Genesis 1 all the way through to the Scriptures. This is what the Holy Spirit uses. This is the Word. not some mere man, but this word. This is the word of his power, not that preacher. This word. And he immerses people in this word until, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, where's the fire in all this, preacher? Those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, Christ came and revealed to them, opened up the scriptures, took the books of Moses, the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and revealed unto them all things concerning himself. And what did they say? As he revealed himself from the scriptures, as he opened up the scriptures to them, what did they say? One of them looked at the other and said, you feel it? He said, yeah. What is it? My heart's on fire. My heart's burning up. With what? These things are wonderful. The things of Christ. This is just too wonderful. He said, stay, stay. Preach some more. What? About yourself. Don't let this fire go out. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fire. You ever been on fire? The scripture says, thy word burned within me. So I tried to keep silent. My heart was hot within me. Burned. The word of God. It has nothing to do with rolling on the floor. It has nothing to do with hanging on chandeliers. Take a little LSD, you'll roll on the floor and you'll hang from a chandelier. But you'll not be filled with the Spirit. And you'll see things. You'll imagine things. God sends strong delusions that men believe a lie. That's what 2 Thessalonians 2 says. That's what God says in His Word. He sends men strong delusions that they might believe a lie. God sends these visions and signs and wonders and all that. And people follow and listen to these fellows. But to those that love the truth, He sends the truth. And then He sends real fire. Heart-burning fire. Kind of heartburn you don't want rid of. And the only thing that will get rid of it is R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N. That'll get rid of it. All right, I quit. For now. But it says there in John 10, in our text, it said, all things John said to him are true. Everything he said are true. And it says many believed on him there. Do you believe on him here? Huh? He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's the preferred one. Well, he's before me. He's the Lamb of God. Do you see him as a lamb? Do you see him as the preferred one? The one who's before all things? By whom are all things? Do you see him as the preeminent one? Do you see him? Have you heard him? Have he been baptized with the Holy Spirit into the things of Christ where your heart burned within you? Huh? It's true. I'm one. I'm one. It's true. All things John said true. I believe one. Right here. Okay, Joe, you have a hymn picked out? 235. Number 235.